Welcome back to JK Moto Podcast, a weekly motorcycle podcast for the everyday rider, covering current bike and racing news, specializing in track days, club racing, and great entertainment. We truly do it all. And this week, as you can kind of tell, Cole is not with us once again, so it is just me, but we are about to bring on a couple special guests, so we'll get them on here shortly. Before that, I did want to go ahead and roll out a weekly riding tip. So we'll kick that off, and then we'll bring our special guests on. And I have to say, if you're a dude that's been doing track days for a while, or has been wanting to, I guess would be the better way to say that, and there is someone in your life that is holding you back or isn't quite on board tonight, hopefully we're going to bring on some guests that can kind of help with that and give their take on what it's like being on the sidelines. Not necessarily the sidelines, but being on the other side of a lot of what we do. So, as I said before that, I'll go ahead and roll the rider tip. This week's weekly riding tip comes to you from Bittinger Motorsports, which is private coaching to build solid riders through vision-based training. This week, Josh Bittinger himself has to say, be humble and open-minded. Learn from everyone. None of us know it all. What works for someone may not work for someone else. Listen to those faster and slower than you. Just because you are faster than someone doesn't mean that they may not have something to offer. When you start to think that you are fast and that you have this sport figured out, that is the moment that your learning curve slows down. So be humble and open-minded. And I'll take just a second to kind of give my thoughts on that, because I do feel like you deserve that from me. Normally, also Cole, but as we said, he's a busy guy. He's got some stuff going on. But I think that, man, I don't know if I can say much better than the way Josh says it, right? Be humble and open-minded, i.e. just because someone is slower than you doesn't mean they might not have a good idea. They might be taking a certain turn way faster than you just because their lap time doesn't show it. That turn might show it, the line that they're taking through that turn. Or maybe they've got compounds and tire pressures down pat. They're not quite fast. They're not quite winning, but their tires always look beautiful and they can get whatever it might be. And that, on the contrary, obviously people that are faster than you, well, generally they're faster than you, so it's worth listening to them. So be open-minded, be humble. Don't ever think, unless you're literally, quite literally winning every MotoGP race out there or World Superbike, because I think we're starting to argue they've got equal talent just in different ways. Unless you're at that level, you're probably not quite got everything figured out. So be open-minded to what everyone has to say about every sort of thing. And even people maybe off the track, they could always have good thoughts, good feelings, and good ideas when it comes to the rest of the sport that is not just how to ride the motorcycle, but how to run a race season, how to plan and manage a track day, and different things like that. So it's always great to keep that open mind. Keep yourself good. Once again, that rider tip comes to you from Bittinger Motorsports. They operate down at MSRH, and I think we'll be a little more in touch with Bittinger Motorsports here in a little bit. So let's go ahead and roll an intro. We'll get our two guests on, and we'll figure out what kind of advice we can get for the other people in our lives that may or may not be so happy about us doing track days and racing motorcycles. Let's see that intro.
Yesterday, at one point, I was in sixth.
Hey, we're back, and we've got two guests with us. So I don't know what direction it is. I never know. The camera is mirrored and whatever. But I've got Michelle above me and Brittany above me. Michelle, how about you go ahead and give us a quick introduction, and then we'll get one from Brittany, and then we'll start getting into what we're actually going to talk about.
I'm Michelle Anderson. My boyfriend is Josh Bittinger, who gives you your weekly tip, riding tip every week. So that's me.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, I did just go over that just kind of on my own right before the intro. Definitely appreciate those tips. If Josh is, I don't know if he's behind you or around, but you know, tell him we say hi. Definitely appreciate it.
I will.
Him. Okay. Well, Brittany, do you want to introduce yourself?
Okay. I'm Brittany. I am Easton's wife, and I don't have much to do with motorcycles other than I have a husband that is really, really into them. And when we first got married, I hated him, but somehow he convinced me. And now.
Okay. Well, you didn't.
I hated sport bikes.
Sport bikes.
Hated sport bikes.
Not motorcycles.
Definitely a Harley person. Thanks, Dad. And then 7 years later, now you're racing and I'm your biggest fan. And sometimes when it goes too long between a track day, I'm like, can you kind of book one of those so that we can go?
It has turned into that. Yeah, so I think Michelle and Brittany, for both of you, obviously, since I live with this woman, she's kind of been hearing my plans all day. But just to keep, you know, to key everyone in tonight, I think the goal was that often I see stories or hear stories of people who, you know, get married or start to have kids or whatever it might be, and motorcycles go away. It's one of the first things to go, right? A lot of women are against them in general. A lot of guys are too. I'm not saying, you know, that the guys aren't. I get plenty of guys that are also in agreement that they're unsafe and they're dangerous and all these other things. But one of the phrases that I hear from her a lot is, you can do as many track days as you want because it means you're not on the street as much, which means I'm happy. So I think that was kind of just the goal, was to get both of your guys' thoughts and feelings on that matter. You know, what kind of your background is, and then how, Michelle, obviously you're pretty pretty in it over there being with Josh all the time. Yeah. getting a lot of it and heading up the kid program down there. So I'd love to hear kind of just a little bit of your backstory, and then we'll get a little bit of Brittany's kind of prior to marriage, prior to relationship. You know, it seems like girls that have a motorsport of sorts background tend to be at least a little bit more willing. But later on in the episode, I think we'll dig into the big reasons why I believe that every wife and girlfriend should be all about track days. So,
sure. Actually, mine was, it's sort of a, what's the word, bred into me. My dad was a big car guy, had motorcycles when I was growing up. So if I wasn't in a car at a racetrack with my dad, I was constantly around motorcycles, if not on his motorcycles. I have pictures of me, probably not even two, riding around on his bikes. So yeah, I guess that's kind of the start of it. And then once I was able to drive, well, actually even prior to that, I was always on the back of like three-wheelers or four-wheelers, or if not riding them with some of my godbrothers. I think even if I recall, very like 2-3 years old, riding tricycles. They had these little things when I was a little girl that you could put like a motorcycle. It sounded like a motorcycle revving. And so I was constantly having that and, you know, revving around, acting like I was riding a motorcycle myself. So 16 years old, I wanted to not drive a car. I wanted to ride a bike to school. My mom had absolutely, she was not going to have it. So inevitably I graduate, get married, have kids. And first thing I did was put my kids on bikes. So they were riding dirt bikes and racing at four and chasing them around motocross tracks. And then I was married, went to bike weeks all the time, more the Harley thing like Brittany was talking about. Had lots of friends that had street bikes. The biggest hang up with that was the guys were, you'd always hear the wives complaining because the guys would wreck and they'd get injured and that kind of stuff. And then I divorced years upon years later. I met Josh and I was like, now it's my kids are grown up and now it's my turn. So now I'm riding and I'm doing track.
Awesome. So it wasn't until you met Josh that you started doing the track riding yourself.
Correct.
Were you opposed to it before that or just kind of?
Nope. Actually wanting to. I think the biggest reservation was my kids were so deep involved that pretty much everything I was doing went around them and put me last. So it was more just sort of living vicariously through them, I guess. So.
Okay. I get that. That makes sense. And then Brittany, I've heard a lot of your stories, but for the audience, what kind of background do you have and how do you think that has helped shape where you're at right now in your opinions?
Well, pretty much We have the exact same background, at least the start of it. Drag strips with my parents. We would go to the sand dunes all the time. The sand dunes is the biggest thing that would have kept me into motorsports, because by the time my dad was done drag racing, I wasn't old enough to. So I never went to bikes, because in the sand, they're not as easy. They're not as fun. They're all these different things. But I started on a little 90 four-wheeler, went to a 400 EX, kind of a big jump. Also, thanks, Dad. But yeah, just really did a lot with the four-wheelers, enjoyed that quite a bit. Moved over to the three-wheelers, did a lot with the three-wheelers. But that's kind of where mine ended. I didn't get into bikes. We got married pretty young, so I didn't really have much time to venture off from what I was doing with my parents and a lot of the sand dunes. And
yeah. So Michelle, just to make sure I'm on the right page here, when you met Josh, was he already doing track days and racing and whatnot?
Yes. Okay. He was very new to it at the time.
Mm-hmm.
He had a little bit under his belt before me. So,
okay. And then, I mean, obviously I know our story. When we got married, I didn't have a motorcycle. That was like my dream in life, was to get a motorcycle. But I bought myself a Gixxer 750. I never thought I was the fastest thing on the road, but as I got used to it, you know, I thought I was doing pretty good. And then I went and did a track day and quickly learned that it was nowhere near true, but that's not what we're here to talk about tonight. But just kind of, I'm curious to get the contrast between, you know, when I first bought my motorcycle, went out on a ride, the first ride or the first 10 rides, kind of what your thoughts and feelings were, Brittany, and then how that contrasts to Michelle having kids that grew up on bikes, at tracks and whatnot. And, you know, when you started hanging out with Josh and being at the track with him and whatnot, and same for you. I'm just curious in a woman's head and a woman's brain, because I'll never understand it. And I don't mean offense by that, but I just won't. Very one track mind. But you know, what's the difference between, okay, my husband's going out for a Sunday cruise and we're out doing a track day?
We got married pretty young, at 19, and you had bought the bike probably within the first 6 months of us getting married.
Not quite, but close.
So pretty early into us getting married, you had gone and bought this bike, and there wasn't much conversation about buying the bike. So it was just, we didn't have a bike. And then one day we had one, and then you were trying to go on rides all the time. And I didn't have any friends because we were on the East Coast at that point. So there was a lot of anger wrapped up in you getting a bike, and a lot of those emotions that a lot of women have with that causes them to have their husband sell bikes is, he's going to wreck and I'm not going to have a husband anymore. He's gone all the time with his friends.
Mm-hmm.
For the first year or two, I wasn't the biggest fan of the bike. I mean, the bike took my husband away from me, essentially. But honestly, you always came home. There were no accidents on the road, thankfully. And I kind of grew a respect for the bike because, I mean, she brought my husband home every time. It was all good. And then when you started doing the tracks, and I could see in you that you were like, okay, this is what I need to get it out of my system. I'm like, well, if that's all you need to get it out of your system, then I'm going to nurture this, because as we know, drivers nowadays are just not.
Have gotten worse.
Have substantially gotten worse. And then you have states like the one we're in, where in that wonderful time, 4 years ago now, where they stopped requiring driver's ed and such to get their license. So, yep, tracks are good. Tracks are really good.
So what, while Brittany's taking a break real quick, what are your thoughts and opinions on that? You know, just kind of from the safety standpoint, when you're riding, but more so, I do want to get into your riding a little bit, but mm-hmm. I think before we head down that route, just kind of more so as the girlfriend, or even as the mom also, honestly, since you have some experience with that, you know, what are the feelings and emotions behind that?
So I guess I'm the oddball girl, because I was the one who, one day I'm sitting in my son's carpool at school, and in front of me is this truck with this little 50 dirt bike in it. And I'm like, huh, wonder what that's about. And so I went up and saw the mom and knocked on the window and said, hey, you know, what's with the little dirt bike? And, you know, is your kids ride? And she's like, oh, my kids race. I'm like, race? How old are they? My kid's in kindergarten. What do you mean race? She's like, yeah, my kids race. They start them out. I'm like, how young do they start them out on these bikes? She's like, four. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. That is awesome. So I was kind of the catalyst, but like the driving force to say, hey, you know, my kids are going to do that. That's pretty awesome. I never liked the generic, you know, sports like for my kids. I always liked being the oddball. I mean, when I was 16, I wanted to be the only girl driving to school on a motorcycle. And so I thought that was the coolest thing on the planet, was to have, you know, get my kids on a dirt bike and get them racing. So for me, it's never been really, I've never been really opposed to it because yes, like I said, I had friends who were on the sport bikes. And at that time, my first husband was on the cruisers. I honestly would have rather been on a sport bike, despite, yes, that my friends, some of the friends, I had one girl whose spouse actually passed away from an accident, and constantly hearing guys, you know, going through these twisty over the mountain type stuff in Virginia, getting injured or whatever. But honestly, after going to bike weeks and seeing people on cruisers literally die, because you go to places similar to like Texas, you go to Myrtle Beach and you have bike week and there's these people, they have no helmet laws. So mm-hmm. people are, you know, driving down the road in shorts and sometimes barely dressed on the back of a motorcycle. And, you know, the whole area is promoting drinking and partying and carrying on in the back of these bikes. And I thought, now how smart is that, right? Like, you watch people die every year at these events. This is insane. So to me, I'd rather be on the sport bikes. But honestly, Josh and I've communicated about this before. You know, when he started track days, it was just by him running into the right person that even told him track days were possible and even existed. I mean, right. Yeah, you see, you know, Moto America, things like that. And you always think, well, how does one get like that? You know, I'm thinking, okay, it has to start from motocross, whatever. And I used to take my kids to watch Moto America all the time and the Haydens and that kind of stuff. So to know that you could actually do it at an amateur level wasn't really a big thing in Virginia, even though we live not far from VIR. So it was pretty unheard of. But so I personally like that, doing the track day stuff, because to me, after witnessing people in, like your wife said, people having accidents and, you know, drivers being stupid, or even for mm-hmm. that matter, other motorcyclists not even considering wearing a helmet. So that's kind of where it's hard for me to be an opposing argument, just because I've witnessed so many different things. And I've never ridden street myself. I've only done track, other than being a backpack on a Harley. But so I don't have too many oppositions.
Right. Yeah. You know, it's kind of a crazy point you brought up when you mentioned, you know, Myrtle Beach Bike Week. Mm-hmm. No helmets. The backpacks on the back, definitely not dressed for the ride, let alone the person actually operating the motorcycle in the front. And to be fair, I say the person actually operating, when you have someone on the back, there's just as much operating going on back there as up in front with the controls. And then you mentioned, you know, the alcohol. You go to a track day, and every track day starts with tech inspection for the bike. Mm-hmm. So you make sure the bike is good to go. And then there's gear requirements, and some track days require gear inspection. That kind of annoys me a little bit. But anyway, there's gear requirements, right? We're required to wear a full face helmet, non-modular, required to have boots that cover your ankles, gloves that cover your wrists, a full leather suit that's either one piece or zips up at least three quarters of the way. Like, there's all these requirements just to keep you safe out there. And then there's extra recommendations on top of that. And the one thing that I can say that I have heard at every single track day I've ever been to is that no matter who you are, whether you're riding or not, there will be no alcohol in the paddock until the track is cold.
Yep.
And so that's this is a huge mentality shift. It's like, nope, we don't even want to think about the possibility of that. So we're just going to say zero and be completely dry all day. At the end of the day, yeah, you know, whatever. It's not like you're doing a track day and not allowed to drink at all. But during the day, whether you're operating or not, whoever you are, if you're there, there will be no alcohol. And so that is a completely quite opposite mindset. And just starting, you know, right off the bat from the start, it's safer. And there, don't think there's really any getting around that. So I'm curious, you mentioned, you know, at 16, you wanted to ride a bike to school. When you first said that, for some odd reason, my mind went to bicycle. And then I put together what you were actually saying. But, you know, my older brother had a sport bike and he ended up wrecking it, was in the hospital for a couple of days, you know, had some rib problems, broken arm, whole bunch of issues. And from there on out, my mom said, when you're living under my roof, you will not own a motorcycle, which was possibly what kind of actually put me in my current situation. But I'm just kind of curious on your thoughts on that, because it sounds like we had similar upbringings in that way, where, you know, we wanted to be on motorcycles so bad, and the parents, specifically the mom, and I'm not saying anything bad about moms. Right. I definitely love my mom. And I understand exactly, you know, I actually had a conversation with her about it when I was younger. I understand exactly why she made the decision she did, and she said what she did. But just curious to get your thoughts on, you know, what springs that, what emotions lie behind the, nope, my kid's not going to be on a motorcycle.
If I had to guess, my mom is very cautious. I have a more of my dad's mindset mentality, which is kind of like very adventurous. So my mom was, being a mom, she was just thinking, okay, well, here's my daughter who's doesn't have a license. And although I've operated, I had dirt bikes, four wheelers, three wheelers, the whole gamut of types of things, she also saw my personality. And in hindsight, I'd probably have to say, okay, to be fair, she was probably right. At 16, I had no business on a motorcycle for mature reasons, because I was very much a daredevil with a no fear mentality. So I probably would have probably had some fair incidences, if I had to say, because when I got four wheels in a car, I was always ripping and racing and running up and down the streets. And yeah, if my mom knew how I drove my car sometimes, she probably, wouldn't have been good. So in all fairness, I was probably a blessing in disguise that it kind of sucks that I had to wait till I was much older to get a bike, but it was probably much better that I did.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Just to catch you up, Brittany, we were kind of talking about the difference in just literally from right off the bat safety aspects, which leads me to my biggest question I think I really want to get answered tonight. One, I would like advice from both of you to other women in the world, to guys that are either racing or want to do track days or just bought their first motorcycle, whatever it might be. And we'll kind of get hopefully a conglomerate of answers to that. But, you know, what is your reasoning personally? I know you've told me multiple times, we already said it here tonight, but if you're doing track days, you can do as many as you want, as long as you stay off the street, which I don't 100% stay off the street anymore these days. I kind of do, but what are the thoughts and feelings behind that phrase?
Honestly, seeing you as happy as you are in a hobby and with how much I love you and everything, I don't know why any woman would keep their husband away from something that they love so much. Just the pure joy that you have, that right there is enough for me to be 100% in on motorcycles and everything. So I don't know. at some point you got to take your partner's happiness into consideration too and realize that this is a hobby. This is one of the safer ways that you can do something. This is where I can meet you middle ground. And honestly, once you get into the community and you start going to the track days and you meet other women and everything, you might find out that you like it a little bit more than you thought you were going to, because as someone who's never had any interest in riding a bike, I don't like the tippy feeling that they have. Four wheels, three wheels. I do prefer three wheels.
Mm-hmm.
Not the three-wheel trikes on the road either, though. Three wheels on the dirt. But how many times have we been talking about, like, me being interested in possibly a mini moto or a track bike of my own? And that's insane, especially with where you met me, where I was mad that you got a bike because I thought sport bikes were stupid. Mm-hmm. And now I'm over here like, well, what kind of bike would I like to go on the track? So sometimes you've got to just take a breath and embrace the hobby. I think that would be my biggest advice, is just embrace the hobby. And dads need to get their daughters to the track, whether it's cars, dirt, it doesn't matter. That's on you, dads.
So that's the real key, huh? Is that girls from a young age just need to be brought up in motorsport?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and also both my parents, amazing parents. I love them to pieces, but I didn't have helicopter parents, as you would call it.
Yeah.
If you're not crashing, you're not improving.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what Michelle was kind of talking about. You know, earlier the story of the other lady in the school pickup line with the dirt bike, and how do I do that? Getting kids into it young, which shout out to Binger Motorsports and your guys' future youth program that should be kicking off or is currently kicking off, is in the works still.
Yeah, we're still in the works.
But we'll be coming shortly, and I'm sure we'll get plenty of updates on that as it comes out. But be on the lookout for that. But so from the safety aspect, just to talk about safety, Michelle, you've done a few track days. You're actively kind of doing them. You also, I'm imagining you spend a decent amount of time with Josh while he's coaching and out at all those events. And then Brittany, you've been on, you know, on the sidelines. From a safety aspect, is there any sort of hold doing a track day or being at a race event? Are you really worried about it? The sad hard truth of this sport is that it is dangerous, and there's no real getting around that. But most people that end up doing track days, a lot of people that end up doing track days eventually kind of just ditch the street. And something that people don't realize going in is how much safer the track is. But, you know, from the female aspect, from the wife aspect, the mom aspect, the woman on a motorcycle out doing it herself aspect, what are those kind of safety differences that you can point out just right off the bat?
You started going to the track, and I stopped caring about you crashing after I watched you crash the Gixxer, because I was busy talking to friends that you had invited to the track.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even see you crash. I just saw you jump up and start doing the running thing that they tell you not to do.
Do say that.
But when you crashed the Aprilia, I wasn't worried about you. The Aprilia hurt my heart. You were fine. I knew you were fine. But I looked at the bike, and that was like my first, how much am I going to have to pay to fix this bike? For one. And for two, the bike was so beautiful. And you crashed it. And that still hurts my heart. But now she's a race bike.
It's true.
So she's out there. She's still kicking.
She's still around.
But I just, almost a dumbness in the lack of caution that I have on the track. Because you have crashed. And after that first initial one, okay. If you crash, we figure it out. It's fine. You haven't been injured by any of your crashes, and you don't crash a lot either. And it took you almost 2 years before you ever laid a bike down on the track?
Yeah, I did one track day my first season, six the second, and then my third season is when I finally put a bike down, which is funny too, because I look back at that, just side note, look back at that, I know exactly, like I had it coming. I'd laid down a fast lap and I thought I could get better, and I tried to add speed where there was no speed to be had. I'm sure that story's been on the podcast before, but I knew there was no speed to be found in that corner. It's a long sweeping corner, and I was just like, oh, we can get more, and just gave him more gas while I was actively leaned over, and what do you know, back tire slipped out. So anyway,
that crash specifically, I just remember the feelings building up that every time we started going to a track day, I was almost hoping that you would crash. Not because I wanted you to crash, but because I knew we needed to get that first one out of the way. And the longer that, the more anxious I got about how bad the first crash was going to be, or how was I going to feel watching my husband crash a bike? Because, I mean, you care about your husband, you care about your partner. You don't necessarily want to see them go through the crash or go through the injury. And every time there's a red flag and the truck that's got the trailer behind it with the crash bike, you're watching. You haven't seen your husband come around the corner yet. You're watching that trailer to see if you recognize the helmet color, the bike color, anything to make sure it's not your person. So it felt like I could finally take a deep breath after you got your first crash out of the way, because we'd been through the process and nothing bad happened other than you had to fix some things on the bike. But like in the grand scheme of things, it was fine. You got back on the track the next day because it was a 2 day, wasn't it? So you were right back on the track the next day and it wasn't a big deal. And that was actually quite helpful. Now, if we... in the opposite situation, if you'd crashed on the road initially, I, as cool as I like to think I am, I don't know if you'd still have bikes.
Well, maybe that's the big difference. And I don't know, Michelle, if you could back me up on that, but you hear someone crashes on the street and it's, I hope they're okay.
Right.
Right. Like I see a post on Facebook or multiple every day that's rider down on Bloss Street, check your people, didn't look good, looked bad. Can't tell what the bike looked like. Can't even tell what color the bike was. If you crash on the street, it feels like percentage based, you know, statistically speaking, your chances are low. And not that you should be crashing every track day you go to. I know Josh put a tip out that says you don't have to crash to learn. And I appreciate that because I'm all about it. I'm more of the slow approach to the edge of the cliff type of guy myself because I like to save money. But there's also kind of a bit of a mindset shift where if you crash out on a racetrack, it was most likely because of something you did to yourself. I know Cole's had a couple of stories opposite of that, but most likely because of a mistake that you made, and you're probably going to be okay. The bike might need some repairs. That's okay. You get the bike repaired and you take that mistake that you made, you learn from it and you move on. And crashing, you know, when you talk to someone that's racing or you talk to someone that does a lot of track days, crashing almost becomes, I don't want to say normal, and we shouldn't be making it normal, but it becomes kind of just another part of conversation. Like it is going to happen, but it's not a scary it's going to happen. As long as you've had proper training going in. And you know, like with my first, and I don't know if you can speak to this. I don't know. Have you put a bike down yet, Michelle?
No.
Okay. Not to jinx it. Sorry. Knock on wood, whatever you need to do. But, you know, you take that slower approach to it. You get proper training, you get time and you put in the effort, and eventually you're going to lay that bike down. You're going to find the edge because you're going to want to be pushing and pushing and pushing. And the more, you know, the longer you take to get there, the easier it is to pinpoint exactly what you did wrong. And then once again, it's come back, throw some duct tape on the fairings, make sure your wheel's not bent. If it is, put your other wheel on. Personal experience there, and then get back after it. So, I think that probably one of the biggest differences is crashing. You know, like, yeah, I laid the bike down. You say that to a track guy, it's like, oh yeah, man, you know, part of life. You say that to a guy on the street and they want to know how long you were in the hospital and do you still have the bike or was it totaled, you know, whatever else. So I wonder if that's kind of, I don't know. What are your thoughts on that, Michelle? You kind of on the same page or?
No, I totally agree. the first couple times that I went with Josh to the track and witnessed accidents and even him, you always, like she said, you always have a fear, you know, that like you'll be seeing, you have to see who, what the helmet color is, what bike's coming in, you know, witnessing someone go down, you obviously don't want your partner or your spouse to get hurt. But after witnessing it often at track days and more so like some of the racing events, just because they are ultimately pushing them, you know, the bike, it's like she said, it's like a relief to sort of see someone go through that and watch them pop back up and still walk off track. Some don't, and you know, some come in with, you know, injuries, but ultimately the majority of them aren't bad. Like you said too, hearing bike down or riders down or check your people, because here in Houston too, it's a huge bike community. Mm-hmm. And we're on the pages where, you know, you're witnessing these incidences and occurrences almost multiple times a day. And it's really scary to think, you know, because on the road you don't have it, it's just not a safe environment. They have the lane splitting thing down here where the people are riding between cars and it's just, it's kind of scary. I couldn't imagine, I wouldn't do it at all. So, you know, riding track myself, and I've witnessed a lot of people go down even close proximity to me. And typically they just slide and then they're bounced right back up unless they high side. And then that's a different scenario. But even then I've seen high sides. Most people come in, they might be a little bruised or their ego is a little battered, but that's about it.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I don't know. It's insane how many times you get a track day, a race weekend, or whatever it might be, how many times you see the crash truck roll, you see the bike come back, and the guy's in the back of the truck, no problems. The ambulance is definitely run. I don't think any of us are here to say that the sport is foolproof and you're not going to have issues. You know, even at the top level, things can happen. But the other thing too is just the, you kind of, I don't know exactly why, but you sparked something in my head. But like the level of thought that goes into getting ready for a track day or getting ready for a race or a track session on a track day, whatever it might be, compared to, okay, I'm going to ride this weekend. You know, when I think about going on a ride in the summer on a Sunday, I'm probably looking at being out for an hour or two. And my thought is purely based around like, how can I be the most comfortable? Right. How can I get the most cooling? I don't want to go put on my big, huge, heavy leather jacket because it's going to be too hot. And I'm just going to wear jeans and, you know, whatever else it might be. And I don't go out very often anymore at all. I've never gone out in flip flops. I don't think I've ever worn shorts on a motorcycle. I can say I've worn a t-shirt out on the road before. But every time I do, and as I get further and further down riding on the track, I kind of laugh at myself because I'm like, if I showed up to a track day, I would never even think about not wearing full gear. And that's a safer environment. I'm doing higher speeds, absolutely, but I'm not going to get hit by a random car who decided to not see me. If I'm at Roebling, I might get hit by an ambulance, but that's different. Sorry, I couldn't resist. That's in the past. We didn't need to re-bring that up. But no, I mean, everyone's out there with the same mentality. We're all going the same direction. We've got the same idea behind it. We're all going relatively similar speed. You know, you've got your ABC group or four groups, whatever it might be for the track day that you're doing. Never once have I been worried about another motorcycle out there on the track. I've seen some people that do some risky stuff. And even those people, generally, the only thing that I'm worried about is a brand new guy getting scared and making a mistake because he wasn't expecting to have someone come up underneath him or something like that. Generally, the people that take those bigger risks are semi good for it. If you're doing that, I'd recommend you not. it's a track day, start racing, figure out where you're actually at. But that's my thought.
I think adding to that, when an accident happens on the track where someone does need to be taken to the hospital, I think it hits you a lot harder too, because we see it so much on the road. You can't physically keep that emotional space for every single Facebook post, every single Instagram post, but it isn't as common on the track. So you can just feel it so much more. And it's unfortunate that like we're so numb to it on the road because it happens so often. I mean, every single person that goes down matters. But on the track, it doesn't happen as often. And when it happens and it's bad, it's like a whole big ordeal.
There is definitely a shift in the paddock when, you know, when the red flag comes out. Obviously everyone's kind of bummed about missing the session or whatever, but when you find out that an ambulance ran or you hear the helicopter fly in, there's definitely a shift. There's a big kind of silence and everything that falls over the paddock. And especially on a race weekend, if it's, you know, especially if it's someone, you know, yeah, that hits, it hits different.
Well, and I've never heard anyone complain about losing laps or losing time on the track after that, because they understand. There's a respect for it also. You can get on Facebook and see a bike down and there's comments like, well, bike shouldn't drive crazy and bike shouldn't do this. And they're trying to blame the rider when 95% of the cars that are passing the riders on their cell phones going 10 over and changing lanes with no signals, not paying attention at all. It's unfortunate that bikers are treated the way that they are nowadays, that yeah, you do need to go to the track because it is the safer thing.
Right. And well, sorry. The positive to that and what you're saying is the being on the track, the advantage is that if you do go down, what's the immediate response? An ambulance, you know, a safety guy coming out to you. You're on the street. You have to wait. You have to wait for that. And it could be those seconds that rider was alive and then passes away, unfortunately, due to the fact they're waiting on someone from an ambulatory squad or a rescue squad to come and collect them. On the, you have that there at every track day, there is an ambulance waiting right there.
They're required to be there. Yeah. They have to be.
I think it's some they have to have two, because they have to have a backup one in case one's busy.
Generally, though, if they don't have two, then yeah, you don't go back on track until another one shows up.
So. Yep. So that's
a good point. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. The immediate response is also very comforting.
Yeah. That's, I mean, yeah. Yeah. You know, I mentioned earlier, I don't personally like gear tech. Right, I don't want to have to take my gear over to tech, and it's because it's a hassle, and it's also because, once again, when I go do a track day, if I find a problem with my suit, I'm getting a new suit. I'm not going to take it out there, but it is comforting. It's nice. It's never once have I gone out and worried about what's going to happen if I lay the bike down, be it high side, low side, whatever it might be. You know, you're absolutely right. You know that one. You can only be in one spot. You know, realistically, a track that's 3 miles long is only at most three quarters of a mile in diameter anywhere, right? So as opposed to if you're out in the twisties outside of cell phone service, yeah, it could absolutely be, you know, your wife doesn't hear from you for 6 hours. You're supposed to be home 2 hours ago. Where are you? He tries calling, doesn't answer. He must still be riding. Anyway, we don't need to go down and create all these bad scenarios, but
how far away from home were you in Washington when your chain decided to,
I was probably an hour and a half away from home. My chain snapped off and we had to drive down the mountain. I had to ride on the back of someone else's bike, ride down the mountain, call her, say, hey, I need you to come pick me up. I don't have a bike to ride home. And then go back up and wait, and then go back down to recall her and say, hey, did you find it? She couldn't find it because, you know, crappy directions. And anyway, you don't have that on the track. Turns out you're somewhere on the side of it. If you did go down, also turns out that I mean, I think the only nervousness from a woman kind of sideline standpoint would be the waiting to see if your helmet either comes in or it's on the crash truck. But yeah, definitely different. So Michelle, I do want to dive into what, are we blaming Josh or are we blaming you for you wanting to do it yourself?
Mutually. Yeah. Cause when he had told me that, you know, he'd been riding, he had ridden the street for many, many, many years, but it wasn't until recently that he had discovered track days. And I was like, oh, I've always wanted to ride a motorcycle. You know, I was want to get a motorcycle. And then I ended up doing mini motos with an all women's group in Maryland. And we rode on kart track with the dirt bikes like we have with the street tires. And I was addicted. I was like, okay, this is fun, but I want to try this on a bike, like a big bike. I want to do this on a track. So then he got me a bike and it was all she wrote. So, but I'm still addicted to the mini motos because they're so much fun. There's so much to learn from them, but the repetition and being on the mini, just on the kart track and just going around and around and around there, it just constantly, it's building time on the bike and learning new skills and being able to focus at a slower pace. Just cements a lot of muscle memory and mm-hmm. but it's just all in all just so much fun. It's like a kid riding a roller coaster, you know, for the first time. But it's just over and over and over again, you get that same joy every time you get back on them. But you know, when you're on the big track, it's a lot of fun as well. It's just way more to think about and you have to think about it a little more rapidly, and sometimes, you know, in the process of developing skills, he always talks about, you know, trying to focus on one thing at a time, because trying to focus on too many things just kind of gets in your head, and so I think that's where the minis makes it a little more fun, just because you're not having to think about it so quickly, and at least if you wreck there, you're not going quite as fast. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. Well, and they're a lot cheaper. I've looked into, you know, keeping the sport up, keeping my hobbies up long-term. Mini motos is definitely a cheaper option. So I guess once you met Josh, he was doing track days. I do want to point out, you mentioned even in Virginia, you were close to VIR, correct?
Yes.
And didn't have any clue that track days existed, mm-hmm. how to get into it or anything else. And that's, it's so insane to me.
I know how we can fix this problem. We got to get in the mom groups and we got to offer daycare services.
At track days. Daycare at track days.
You get the moms and the mini motos. The husbands will get to ride all they want because the moms will be then booking the track days. Because one, it's a break from the kids with the daycare. And two, it's fun.
There you go. Not a bad idea.
That's how you fix it.
It's just, you know, I think I've mentioned it and I'll just mention it again anyway, but that 95% of the point of this podcast and the YouTube channel that goes along with it, which go ahead and subscribe if you're not subscribed. But the whole point was that people know that motorcycle racing exists. And then some people know that track days exist. And then some of those people do track days. And so my goal was to flood the internet as much as I personally could with content, because that's what everyone's busy doing, is watching content on the internet or listening to it or whatever. But I wanted to flood it with the things that I love, which is motorcycles at racetracks. Be it racing, track days, club racing, whatever it might be, because it is insane to me that you can live that close to a racetrack, be a motorcycle rider, and have no idea that you could take your bike out there. And you mentioned, you know, you're on the back of a cruiser, a Harley. Harleys can go out there too. I've seen it. I've actually been very interested in taking just a normal street cruising Harley out to a racetrack, because you don't have to show up to turn into a club racer to go race Moto America one day. You absolutely don't have to. You can show up on a motorcycle to enjoy it in a safe, legal environment and a safe, legal way of enjoying a motorcycle. So that's just my plug for that comment that you made, which was a while ago. But I guess from both of you, woman to woman, from my statistical standpoint, I think 100% of our viewers and listeners are men, at least that the internet tells me about. I'm sure there's a few women out there that are listening. But for the men in the audience, you know, what is some advice that we can, obviously I don't need it because you're here with me giving the advice, but what is some advice that we can tell our ladies or tell our friends to tell their ladies to get them to come to the track with us, that'll maybe help them kind of head that way?
I think the biggest thing is honestly hitting safety. That's where you're going to hit most women. That was a bad phrase of words. We don't like to hit women.
That's true.
That's where you're going to make the most distance with women. I could either ride on the street and it's dangerous, or it's a family event and we can all have fun. I mean, if you have younger kids, maybe they want to cheer dad on the track.
That's true.
It might not be a race. It might just be a track day, but the excitement that kids get just watching their dad go around the track.
A 3-year-old has, I got to speak to that. A 3-year-old has no idea what the difference between a track day and a race is.
And you're the coolest person in the world.
Yeah.
You win every race.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. We have friends who have lots of little ones, and you're exactly right. The kids are like, you know, oh, my mommy or my daddy, or both parents are out there and they're trading time on track, right? And they're watching the kids, and the little ones are like, go mommy, go daddy, you know, you're their hero, you're out there doing something, and then, you know, then you're raising your kids in the same environment, and so then they see all that and it ingrains in them, and so it definitely creates more energy within the family. And And being around like-minded people and families, and it turns in truly to a big track family, and everybody's sharing, you know, their kids and their time, and the wives are all having a good time, and the men are all having a good time. So if there's a lot of good times to be had for an entire family at that track, for sure.
I think motorsports and having your kids grow up in situations like racing, like the sand dunes, like tracks, drag racing, all these different hobbies that you can have, can actually help keep your kids out of trouble too.
Yeah, because it costs so much money.
Not even for the money aspect. I remember I asked my parents one time if I could play soccer. And the response I got from my parents was, we can either stay home and play soccer on Saturdays, or we can go to the sand dunes together. Which would you rather do? I was like, well, the sand dunes are pretty cool. And so I never played soccer, but boy, did I go to the sand dunes a lot. And I'm so thankful and grateful that my parents raised me that way, because I talked to like other kids at school, and I talked to friends that you have, and I just realized how much life I lived before I got married, because I got to go out like camping, to the sand dunes, all these big things, that jet skiing, everything that a lot of people don't ever get to experience, and then they don't feel like they can. The biggest thing I think that holds people back is, oh, it's expensive. Oh, I didn't realize all you had to do was go fill out a flyer.
No, I think
sign a waiver, yeah. Fill out a flyer.
I think there's a lot of guys
and pay some money
that,
and I can do it.
There's a lot of guys that don't, me included. I'll be honest, I did so much freaking research before my first track day because I don't want to show up looking like an idiot. I want to show up looking like I know exactly what I'm doing and I've done it before and I'm not the new guy on the block. But if that's holding you back, you know, man to man, just go for it. Find a buddy that's doing it. There's got to be one out there. If not, you know, hit me up. I'll find you a buddy in the area. You can go with them so you don't look brand new. But, you know, I think to what both of you are talking about with the kids, kids think whatever you are doing is cool. If you think it's cool, they think it's cool because they don't know anything else yet. You've got a blank brain there. If you have a family, that is your chance, especially when they're young, to go spend your time and do something that you love, because that's going to raise that kid to love it. And to anyone that goes to the track and sees kids at the track, please understand that that's our future. I've never personally seen it, but I don't ever want to. There's no reason why we should ever be upset with any kid ever being at a racetrack in any capacity. That being said, if you take your kids, keep them safe. You know, we don't want them. Obviously, if I see someone's kid running out on the track, I'm going to be a little upset, but that's for a different reason. But, you know, anytime I see a...
We've never had
it. No, yeah, issues. never had an issue like that. Never seen that, but don't want to either. But anytime I see a kid at the track, you know, I'm happy. I'm ecstatic. One, I'm not the only one, because sometimes I wonder how crazy I am. You know, am I putting myself over my family and whatever else? I've got all those different feelings. But then two, just knowing that that kid's going to grow up, knowing that this exists, you know, it's one new person from a young age that already knows that can go tell more people and help keep the sport alive. So I think it is crazy how much comes back to the kids. And I guess for the moms out there, you know, as Michelle, you were kind of talking about, football's boring.
Football's more expensive than a track day.
It can be more expensive. And kind of what you were talking about, Brittany, is that, you know, doing track days and racing, I would say, is mostly an adult sport. Mm-hmm. And so getting your kids into it from a young age gives them something to do as an adult, gives them a sport and a hobby and a group to be a part of. Whereas a lot of your sports that you play in high school, you might play them in college. And after college, I know there's adult soccer leagues and adult football leagues, but most of those aren't nearly as big. Whereas motorsport, people get into it later.
Yeah.
And so if you do get into it as a kid, it's going to be there.
You grow into motorsports.
Yep.
You grow out of football and other sports.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I've never thought of it that way.
It is. It's different. But it's good. It's good. So any, Michelle, any advice for women that are kind of more, they're good with track days, good with the husbands doing it, but they're, not so sure about themselves. Their husband's like, go for it, but they're just not quite sure. Any advice on that?
Well, much to like what Brittany said, you know, she was talking about, you know, mini motos. I definitely say just get a taste of it. The mini motos is definitely a great in. It's not without, like, you don't have as much risk, but again, the repetition of it and just being on a kart track is so much fun. And if they can get with a group like I started with, where it's an all girls group and you can get the camaraderie of other women. Josh was super cool and came and was my track side support. And mm-hmm. So he was helping me and it was a lot of fun, you know, to be in a group, you know, and be with other like-minded women and everyone just getting together and doing that. So I would say that would be the best way to start. At least get a taste for it. You know, don't knock it till you try it kind of thing. And then go from there. And if it's not your cup of tea, that's fine. You know, you can, I know plenty of women who don't ride, but have just as much fun coming to the track days just mm-hmm. because they're around women who are in the same situation where they don't particularly care to ride, but they're there to support their spouse or partner.
Just to get your opinion on it, because there's a big question out there from both sides, honestly, of like, you know, we've got the women's world championship going on this year, which is awesome. It's great to see that. You've got the Femme Walla group out at Chuck Walla that races every year. And I know there's some women that are on the other side of the fence that say, nope, I want to run with the boys. I should be able to run with the boys. I don't think there's a single guy out there that says absolutely not. But just to get your opinion on that, is it different to ride in an all-girls group? Do you think that helps? Do you think that that's a good thing to have and there should be more of those?
I do. I mean, I enjoy it. Of course, I have no qualms running with the boys either. I've always been a little bit competitive in that aspect. Even when I was in school and we used to have like the whole presidential fitness awards things, I was, you know, and they always had like certain things guys did versus what girls did. And I used to challenge that all the time. That was just my mindset growing up. It, you know, if they can do it, I can do it kind of thing. Mm-hmm. By all means, I'm not some super, you know, feminist or anything, but I always like the competitive aspects of it. But, you know, I think for women who are intimidated because it, well, being on track, you know, obviously starting out, I was a lot slower. So in my mindset, you know, these guys are coming zipping past me or whatever. I think for women being a little bit intimidated at first, just being around other women, maybe they don't feel quite as intimidated by what's going on around them. So yeah, I definitely would encourage more of that just to get women started.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That makes sense.
I agree with that. I think more women would be in the sport or doing track days with their husbands if there were more groups doing mini motos for all girls. Because it's not necessarily that I don't think I can ride with the boys, because I think I can. It's having a comfortable space where I don't want to look dumb in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care about other girls as much, like their opinion. Right. It's not my husband. It's not. Right. So I can go be kind of a dumb girl with other quote unquote dumb girls. It's this, like, we're all kind of closer to the same spot. Most women don't ride bikes all the time. Most women don't have all this experience. So it's like taking a rider's course together. And then you can get comfortable. You like build that confidence. And then you go to the track with everybody. And you're already comfortable. So sure, some people might be nervous about boys. But honestly, when they're in a suit, can you really tell?
the biggest thing I could be, which is something that... whenever you do end up doing a track day, if you do, something I know I got to be careful with. I give everyone advice all the time, whether or not they ask for it. And I do wonder, you know, the phrase mansplaining, why you got to mansplain that, that I've heard before. I just wonder, I guess, get your opinion on that. I would be interested to know if, you know, as a woman, you show up to a track day, and maybe you do something wrong and you get three or four different coaches that want to come over and tell you how to do it, which you probably don't need, which maybe I'm man explaining that right now, but just kind of curious that aspect of it. Michelle, you said up in Maryland, I think Josh has told me about that before, ruts to race lines.
Correct. Yes.
What is the atmosphere there like, you know, besides it just being, obviously it's all women, but you know, what is that atmosphere like that makes it more conducive to getting women to go out?
Yeah. I mean, you know, the unique thing about it is, so the woman or Marika who runs it, she makes it very clear. She has male coaches, some female coaches. And you have different levels of women, just like you do at any normal track day. Sometimes you're on a kart track, sometimes you're on a big track, but the environment is right off the get-go. She even does some co-ed stuff. So she'll have sessions for only women, and then she'll have sessions for a co-ed. So like you can ride with your partner. And the very first thing she does is she takes the women, talks about the track, talks about, you know, does the tech inspections, does the whole things like you would a normal track day. But then she pulls the men aside and she's like, all right, guys, you know, while the women are getting, you know, lined up with their coaches and their mentors, we're going to have a big chat. And she talks about intimidation factor and, don't be coming up beside the girls too closely. You know, she goes over all these things to making the women feel more comfortable when they go into a co-ed session. If they want to, you're not required to do a co-ed session by any means, but it's open and available for you to do okay. that. So it's just keeping it very neutral so that women have time to learn without intimidation factor, without guys zipping past them really fast and you know, maybe startling someone or just being a little bit intimidating. So that's really about it. There isn't anything super special other than the fact that she just makes it very clear to the men to, you know, to be give women space on track. They're all here trying to learn, or at least the majority of them. And then there's of course your repeats that just like a normal track day, and they're doing really good, but she separates again the levels, skill set right. levels.
Yep.
But at least the newbies coming in don't feel like they have to worry about someone zipping past them.
Okay. Well, and if you could send me that link, I think there's a few others in the country also. I know there's Sport Bike Track Girl, like we mentioned, Femwalla, and mm-hmm. I can do some quick research. We'll have some links down in the description. If you are a woman, or maybe you're a husband whose wife has mentioned the thought, we'll have some links down there that you can go check out and find a group like that if that sounds like something you'd be interested in. But yeah, so I guess just to kind of start to wrap things up, I think my goal was partially to give the men in my audience a little bit of ammo if they've got some stubborn girlfriends or wives.
If they're too stubborn, just leave them.
Yeah, no, don't do that. But no, you know, if you're looking for some ammunition or you're looking for some reasons, you know, hopefully this kind of sheds some light on the reality of it. Or, you know, Michelle, it sounds like you've been successful and found a way to get out there yourself and enjoy it and have fun. And so if you're looking for some info on that, hopefully this shed some light on that also. And if anyone in the audience has any questions or any wives in the audience have any questions, feel free to send them over my way. You can reach me at JK Moto Podcast on Instagram. I do have a wife, so I can ask her if it's anything related to that, and get both sides of that opinion. But Michelle, did you have anything else to add before we close up?
I don't think so.
Okay. Brittany, anything else?
I think one of my favorite ideas that you've had
mm-hmm.
is Grom Squad.
Grom Squad.
I think we need to do Groms, because I can ride a Grom all day, every day. That's fun. Now, if we could just get a go-kart track and a bunch of Groms.
I mean, that's what an Ovali is, just better, more sporty.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'd feel less bad wrecking a Grom because they're already just kind of like a scooter. So like, kick that one to the curb. Let's wreck that
one. There you have it. If you're looking to join our Grom squad, leave a comment down below. We'll get that set up. All right. Anything else besides the Grom squad?
No.
All right. Really. All right. Well, I do want to thank both of you for joining us. And I want to thank everyone for listening. Once again, make sure you subscribe to the channel down below on YouTube. If you're not on YouTube, go check out the YouTube channel. But we do appreciate you also listening. Tell your friends, leave us a review on whatever platform you're listening on. And hopefully you enjoyed this episode. Learned a little bit about the women's perspective on the sport. And can go forward with that knowledge. So thanks everyone for listening, and we'll see you next week.